I'm Tanzina Vega, and today's takeaway kicks off now. So we're talking about the Men's World Cup kicking off in Russia today. And did you know that 1 million people are expected to visit that country and more than 3 billion people are expected to watch worldwide? Well, today we have none other than Roger Bennett, the co-host of NBC's Men in Blazers and host of the new WNYC Studios podcast, American Fiasco. Roger, so great to have you with us.
Tanzina, is a joy to be with you.
Well, before we get into the specifics, I have to say, no Team USA. I don't know what to do. Convince me why I should watch. And you are a newly minted American citizen. Tell us, what's happening here?
You're probably breaking news, Tanzina, to many of your listeners who are waking up today, learning there's a World Cup, the excitement, and then finding out, oh my Lord, the USA are not in it. What is with that?
I mean, we knew we weren't at the top, but I didn't think we were here.
But then we find out there's no NITs in world football. It gets even worse. It is a dark reality. This is the best of times, the worst of times for US soccer. Yesterday, the USA, along with Mexico and Canada, found out that they have been awarded the 2026 World Cup, a game changer for the profile of the sport in this country. In a way, 1994 put it on the map. 2026, the World Cup, that big footballing bar mitzvah to which the whole world is invited, and it's soccer themed. That being in America is going to cement the profile of the sport in the US. But darkness for the next 32 days, world football's elite are going to take the field, and while our women are the defending champions next year in the Women's World Cup, our men, true darkness, did not make it. Luckily, there is a telenovela worth of storylines for Americans to catch up with. And Americans love the circus, the sporting circus, more than any other nation. They will cut work en masse to daytime drink to watch Lionel Messi try and LeBron James it with Argentina, drag his team solely to victory. Cristiano Ronaldo, few men in sports love to take their shirt off in victory more than him, with Portugal, Brazil, the Germans, Teutonic New England Patriots, defending champions even deeper than last season. Those are just the big storylines. And obviously, there's a panoply of heroes who will be unknown today but revealed over the next 32 days. Villains, wrestling heels, neck tattoos, unbelievable haircuts. It's the world's greatest soap opera unfurling live.
So, given all of that, I still don't have Team USA to root for. Besides Messi, who you already mentioned, is there anyone else that we should be thinking about? Does it matter? Should I go back to sort of, you know, my history and, I don't know, think about rooting for Spain? Like, what do we do?
Ultimately, football is a little bit like the sorting hat in Harry Potter. You do not choose a team. A team will choose themselves and reveal themselves to you, and you'll become emotionally connected to them over the course of the next month. I'm an Englishman. I've become American. I live and die with the US men's and women's team. For me, the team that I am most fascinated in engaging with and emotionally connecting is Iceland, Tanzania, that tiny nation, 325,000 people. It's about as big as Corpus Christi, Texas, and they have hardwired themselves to become, pound for pound, the world's greatest producer of elite footballing talent. They've invested heavily over 20 years, in a way America really should and will now, in elite coaching and infrastructure. They have produced this team. I interviewed them in Reykjavik, and they said, Viking blood flows through our veins. And I said, haha, that's really funny. And they're like, no, it really does. They believe self-confidently, tenaciously, that they can smite all comers. Their coach, who's become a friend of mine, Heimir Hallmgrímsson, who comes from Vestland, a tiny island with far more puffins than people, where he was the town dentist until recently, even as the international manager. It's like Northern Exposure. He was the dentist. And he told me, you know, managers, it's a crazy world, high pressure. Some managers drink, others hunt, others gamble. He said he finds it very calming doing root canal. 12 years ago, he was coaching his local under 12 team. And in a couple of days' time, he will lead out his nation into World Cup play against Argentina and Lionel Messi, and they will fancy their chances. I adore them.
Roger, I have to have you as my personal guide through this for the next month. But before we even think about that, let's do that, because I need this. I need this. However, this is not the first time the U.S. has connected with the Men's World Cup. The last time the Men's World Cup came to the United States was, as you mentioned earlier, in 1994. And Team USA did actually really well, surprisingly, making it out of the group stage. But there's a clip in your new podcast, American Fiasco, about their first game against Switzerland in Michigan, and I want people to hear it.
This is the first World Cup game ever played indoors, and Seamus, the moment has arrived for U.S. soccer. Put in perspective.
What did it feel like, John, to run out with your U.S. team at the Pontiac Silverdome before 73,000 screaming fans, the world watching, a World Cup on American turf?
God, we were fighting for the nation there. We were fighting for respect again. Like, this is our chance to shine. This is our chance to push it over the ledge. We have to, in order for this game to survive in our country, we have to do something pretty special.
Roger, but in 1998, the Americans imploded. So your podcast is called American Fiasco. Tell us about this story.
It's a American dream turned sour. It's part Apocalypse Now, part Scarface. It's really about football in the same way as Animal Farm is about horses and pigs. And it's a lesson about collective American play becoming undone by individualism and selfishness. It's a remarkable story, American Fiasco. Listen to it, Tanzina, and then we will chat again.
Absolutely. And just a reminder, we're talking about the Men's World Cup. The Women's World Cup, they're actually champions, right?
If only the men were half as good as the women, we wouldn't we'd be watching the US in action and dominating in this World Cup, that's for sure. But bring on the women, World Cup, Women's World Cup 2019. I can't wait.
Roger Bennett, you know him from Men in Blazers, and he's also the host of our new podcast, American Fiasco, from WNYC Studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Tanzina, make great memories during the World Cup. Courage.